Serenity Church, how y'all doing tonight? First of all, I want to thank you guys for being here. I know the temperature is supposed to drop and get a little cold and all that and everything, but it's always a blessing to see everybody and all my friends and family. And I'm just so glad that you guys are here. I want to welcome those folks that are here for the first time. Glad you're here. It's awesome. Logan already announced that we have a meeting afterwards, and also want to mention that we have a meeting on Wednesdays right here in the same room over there at 7 o'clock, and you don't want to miss that either. That's an important part of what we do here. I don't know if you noticed something a little different up here. Do you remember these boxes we had all over here, that was how we heard ourselves, the musicians up here. And if you notice, that big old board thing right over there is usually back there with our sound man, John Beck. And if you'll notice now, what he's using is just a little iPad. And so we've done a little upgrading here. And how we did that, if you purchased a Serenity shirt, a Serenity Church shirt, a hoodie, or anything like that, if you got one of those, that money went into savings so we could do some of this stuff here. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank you for purchasing those shirts and stuff like that. And if you would like another one, we do have another one with a different type of logo. You know, obviously we're not in the colony anymore. And so if you want one with the new logo and stuff like that, then that'll be available too. If you can go on our app and message there, our website, I think you can get a message there. Or if you know Trina's phone number, just call her and get her hooked up with you to get you one of those shirts. The bulletins. If you don't have a bulletin, a Bible, or a pen, raise your hand. There'll be somebody to bring you one of those. And while those are being handed out, I want to say this particular Christmas candlelight service, it's pretty special. It's the first one we've had in this building. It's the first time that the kids have done anything in it. We got some special music with some special instruments that are not usually used. And so, like Jesslyn said, what a perfect opportunity to invite one of your family members that don't normally come, or a friend or something like that. We're not going to have all our meetings afterwards and all that kind of stuff. We're going to worship the Lord and then go home and be with your family, you know, rest of the evening. But if you would, make it a point to invite somebody. What I usually do is I go through my phone, man, and I make one message and I click it 75 times. And I'll go through my phone. Yep, you're getting a message. Yep, you're getting a message. Jackie Parker, you're getting a message. And so, and these people show up. A lot of times all they need is to be asked, and they show up for you. So if you would, you know that video said mark your calendars for December 20th. Does anybody mark their calendar? That? I just see a couple. Mark your calendar. All right, so let's get into the word. Let's get into the message here. And again, I like to start with a question, and asking you a question. It makes us think. What is a gift? This whole month of December, we're talking about gifts. Like I said in my reel, obviously, it's December, it's Christmas, it's all about the gifts and stuff. So, what is a gift in your mind? See, I think we all know basically what a gift is. Just say you're going to a Christmas party. And at that Christmas party, you know there's going to be some gifts. And you're probably going to get one. Do you feel obligated to bring a gift? If you know you're going to get one, you kind of feel obligated to bring something to give to someone else, especially if you expect to receive something. You feel like it's kind of like my obligation. You know, I need to give one back. What? How's that going to look on me if I don't do that? You know. Let's see. And let's even talk about birthdays. And I got friends in my life that do not forget my birthday. They just don't. They always on time with something for me. Did I mention it's new sound equipment? They're always on time with something for me. And so when their birthday rolls around, thank God for Facebook, because I wouldn't remember anybody's. I barely get my kids right sometimes. Do you feel obligated if someone is giving you a birthday present, when their birthday rolls around, to maybe return that favor, give a birthday present back? I do. I feel the obligation to do that. And so, let's go ahead and Google. What do you know? We're going to Google something. Let's Google gift. So we kind of actually get a real definition. And I'm going to tell you something. If you need to know something and you're not using Google, it's your own fault. Everybody's got it. You got to use the things that God has given to you. And so I use Google all the time for everything. So I Googled gift, and it says something given voluntarily without payment. Something. And so as we look at the word something, we go back to our gifts, and as kids, we thought of the material things, obviously, like a new bike, a new bicycle, a skateboard, maybe some clothes, some shoes that we're looking for. Best of all, money. You know, how many of us are like, when we was kids, and I still do it now, but if we get a card given to us, we like the card, but we want, we look for that money right quick, right? And so it's a gift. As adults, gift cards. You know, you get a gift card to somewhere. Maybe something for the house. Maybe it's a housewarming gift you get. Ladies, diamonds, jewelry, stuff like that. Yes. Dads, socks, underwear. I like new underwear and socks too. So, with all that being said, we know what gifts are. But I'm going to ask you to think just a little deeper. Hang with me here. See, I've been in recovery for a while, and I sat in a whole bunch of meetings. And in these meetings, you hear people say these sayings a lot, you know, over and over and over. And it said at one meeting here, it'll be said over here too. And one of the things that I have heard my whole recovery is, "Hello, my name is Shay, and I've been given the gift of desperation in 2004, and for that I'm grateful. The gift of desperation. And the gift of desperation leads to the gift of surrender. See, until I got desperate, I wasn't going to surrender nothing. And so the gift of desperation leads to the gift of surrender. Well, what does that mean? The gift of surrender is not what you think. See, when I hear these people say that around the meetings, I've even said it. The gift of surrender, it sounds like you're receiving the gift of the surrender. Like, someone gave me a gift to surrender. And really, that's not it at all. The gift of surrender is not a gift given by a person, but it is an act of faith that individuals offer God. Surrender is not the gift to you at all. So, if the gift of surrender is not to us, who's it to?
God. The gift of surrender is to God. So write this down. Gift of surrender is an act of faith offered to God. Your surrender is a gift that you're given to Him. Now think about this. So you've given God a gift. Is God obligated to give you something back? I mean, we feel, and we went through that whole deal a while ago. We're like, if we're going to show up to somebody's house, we're going to give them a gift back, you know. But you've given your gift of surrender. Is God obligated to do anything? I don't believe so. God's not obligated to nothing. And you know why? Because these gifts are already here. The gifts have already been given to you. See, I have a person in my life that I have bought a gift for. I bought it last Christmas. And we wrapped it up, and I wrapped it up, and I stuck it under my tree. And I was hopeful that this person would show up for our Christmas, and it was time to open presents, and this person didn't show up. And so we hung on to that present. That gift was under the tree. This year we set up our tree again, and I'm going to go out into the garage and find that gift. And I'm going to put it back under the tree. And if this person shows up, they will receive that gift. It's the same way with God. We have to surrender to receive these gifts. Amen. You won't receive them if you don't surrender. But our gift of surrender is to God. He's not obligated to give us anything, but it's already there. So you automatically start receiving these gifts when you have given God His gift of surrender. So what gifts are we talking about? You can write this down in your notes. One that when I came into recovery, there wasn't a whole lot of peace. Wasn't a whole lot of peace when I came into recovery. Not in my life or anyone else's. In the Alcoholics Anonymous book, it talks about us roaring through people's lives like a tornado. And that was me. I did that. I was pretty destructive to myself and everyone around me. There was zero peace. But this is a gift. Once you surrender, you receive a gift of peace. John 14:27, it says, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. If I am troubled or afraid, I have no peace. None. The gift of joy. The gift of joy. I always thought that being happy was joy. And it's just not the same thing. It's just not the same thing. I go back to, Paul and Silas in prison. In prison. And he says, I figured out how to have joy in any situation. And they're in prison, and they're singing praises to God and hallelujahs. I hope I feel like I might have that kind of joy, but I don't want that situation. But I believe that I've received some of those gifts because I have been in situations before. I wasn't happy, but I knew that God was going to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that gave me joy. See, I didn't have to be afraid. And if being afraid is in the mix, it's hard to have joy and fear in the same place. It's just pretty difficult. So he's given me peace, which takes that fear away. And he gives me joy. John 15, 10 and 11, it says, I have obeyed my Father's commands. Obeyed. Surrender. I've obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in His love. In the same way, if you obey my commands, surrender, you will remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, and so that your joy will be to the fullest possible. I want all of it. I want all of it. If there's a little piece of something he can give me, I want the whole gift. I want the entire gift. I think about if I got a train track as a kid and I'm putting it together and I put my little train on it and I get around and I get to the other part and I need one more piece of track. I've been there a bunch of times when I had these little train kits. And you're looking for the other track. The gift's incomplete. I want all of it. He said, I will give you joy to the fullest possible. Joy. Write this down. And this is one that I need a lot of. Not only from God, but from other people in my life. It's the gift of grace. Ephesians 4:7, it says, Christ gave each one of us the special gift of grace, showing how generous He is. The gift of grace. Grace and mercy. You know, the first time that I grew up in churches where there wasn't a whole lot of grace and mercy preached at all. And one of the first times that I ever heard grace and mercy was from John Featherston. And he preached grace and mercy. And I was like, oh, I need some of that. And he described it. And I've never forgotten it. And I want you to write it down. The definition of grace is giving us what we do not deserve. You just give. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't pay for it. And He just gives it to us. Amen. And mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. I deserve death. I deserve horrible things because I've done horrible things. But God's grace and mercy covers me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is good news. And if that ain't good news, man, I don't know what to tell you. Because I don't know a single person in here that don't need a little grace and a little mercy. Right? Amen. Romans 6:23, it says, when people sin, who's that? Everybody. Everybody. I'll sin 10 times before I leave that door tonight. I'll try not to. I will. I'm a broken human being. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. When people sin, they earn what sin pays. You've earned it. Yeah, you did the work to earn death. What we deserve. But God gives us a free gift. Free. He's not obligated. It's already there. It's been paid for. The gift is there. It's already been paid for. It's under the tree. All you got to do is show up. All you got to do is show up on Christmas. That's it. Or anytime. But all you got to do is show up and surrender. And you can receive the free gift of life forever in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's it. It's really really that simple. People really try to complicate this, and it's not. Okay, so what if you say, I did all that. I surrendered. I did my step three. We got down on our knees. I did the third step prayer. Lord, I turned my will, my life over to the care of you, and things still suck. Nothing's gotten any better. Nothing's gotten really any better. Where's this peace? I'm still afraid of stuff, and I still got trouble. Where's this joy you speak of? I mean, I ain't happy about nothing. I'm working the steps. I'm doing it. I'm doing it all. I'm just not receiving none of this. Where's that grace and mercy? Why do bad things keep happening? And so I had that same kind of question. And Sunday morning, I get up on Sunday morning kind of early, and I turn on the TV evangelist. And there's a couple of guys that I listen to. And this guy started talking about baking a cake. And it kind of got my attention. He's making a cake. He said, you get all the ingredients out. You get all these ingredients out, and it takes flour and eggs and oil or fat or butter, something like that, baking powder, sugar, and milk. You get all these ingredients out, and then you take a spoonful of flour, put it in your mouth. Can't breathe. You suck powder down your throat. It's not good. Not tasty at all. Eggs. See, that flour is building structure for that cake. By itself, it's horrible. It's bad. It's not good. But it has built some structure. That's why it's there. Eggs. I saw, and I'm sure anybody around my age, you've seen Rocky, the very first Rocky movie, and he's training, and he opens a refrigerator, and he gets him a cup, and he cracks a couple of eggs in it, goes off on a run. I ain't never tried that, and I don't think I'm going to, but can you think about some raw eggs? Nasty. Not good, bad, yuck, right? But in a cake, those eggs are the binder. It helps hold it together. What about a big spoonful of butter? Just raw butter. No cinnamon on it or nothing, James. Just raw butter. Oh. Or maybe some cornola. Spoonful of cornola. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Mmm. Oil, cooking oil. Cornola. We're messing with my redneck. Baking powder. Just a spoonful of baking powder. Yeah. No, not good. Terrible by itself. Sugar. Spoonful of sugar. I don't know about that. Just a spoonful of sugar is not good. No cornola. Put it on some bread or something like that. It might be okay. Mixed with that butter, but not by itself. Just a spoonful of sugar. A milk. Okay, we got something there, right? Milk. How many of us full-grown men drink a glass of milk before you go to bed? Okay, I wouldn't have told everybody. You're the only man that raised his hand. It just don't really, it's not appealing, you know, just a big glass of milk. Now, if you had a piece of pie, chocolate cake, some cookies, you know, you might need a little glass of milk to go in. But just, I'm hot and sweaty, I'm tired, I want to get me a glass of milk. It don't really happen. Just a big glass of milk. But here's the thing. You put all those individual bad things together and mix it up and give it a little bit of time, makes a wonderful tasting cake. A wonderful tasting cake. You put all those ingredients, that's just like our life. I was thinking about, man, this message got me going all the way back several times and thinking about mine and my wife's and my children's journey from 2004 up until now. And at Christmas time one year, and it's early on, I probably had 2 or 3 years of recovery, and kids were all still pretty small, and it was Christmas. We just didn't have much. And what we did is we took a $50 bill and went to the Dollar Tree. And we had some old wrapping paper that we already had, but we took a $50 bill and went to the Dollar Tree, and we bought $1 presents for these kids.
Dollar Tree shopping spree.
Yeah, baby. When they woke up in the morning, it was covered in stuff. But they were only a dollar, but they loved it. You know, in my mind, I was like, oh, we're struggling. This stinks, man. We ain't got anything to give them. And you know, we just made do. We lived in a single-wide trailer for 3 or 4 years, and we never had the money to turn on the heat. We never had gas there. And I cooked all the meals on a single burner, and I had a little toaster oven. I cooked on all that, and then when it did get cold, we had the little electric heaters, and we'd put blankets over the doorways and the windows, and we'd cover those things up, and we'd all spend time together in the living room, you know. And I was thinking about that, and at the time I was like, oh, this is terrible, man. We're struggling so hard. This is just terrible. Then in the same sense, I started thinking that we spent time in the same room together. You know, as my kids got older, they went to their rooms, and I wouldn't see them until they came out. We met in the kitchen at the refrigerator or something like that. But back then, we had to stay in the same room because it was the warm room. You know, and we'd get ready for bed, and we'd put the heaters in the other rooms for just a little bit and get everybody down. You know, real struggles. And then I looked around at the house I'm in now. And me and Trina, we still wake up in the morning sometimes. And is this real? Really? Is this real? Because I remember that struggle. I remember how hard it was. We didn't have nothing, man. But God was mixing that cake. He was putting that flour in there, and he was putting them eggs in there. Yeah, them eggs tasted horrible by themselves. He's mixing it up, and you know me, I'm going to try anything. It's white, so I give me some of that cornstarch. I tried that. It was terrible. It was terrible, but he was still mixing. He was still mixing it all up, and he got it all mixed up, and it come out a cake, man, that tastes wonderful. My life today is awesome. I couldn't ask for a better life today. Was there struggles? Yeah. There was a lot. And so, here's my question to you again. If God gave us all these things, if God gave us that wonderful tasting cake without us having to mix it, without us participating in the building of the cake, would we need him? Would we even talk to him? See, it keeps me relying on God when all I have is some eggs. And I've tasted those eggs and they're horrible. God, I need another ingredient. Give me something else. And he does. And when it's all done, man, it's a beautiful thing. We got to have struggles to get to where we are. You know, when you mix that cake up, it's just batter. You pour it into a pan. It ain't done yet. You got to go set a timer. Put it in the oven. It takes time. Things take time. But first of all, you have to surrender. If you want to, and I think it's in your notes, page 84, Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We love to read out of it. It says, we vigorously commence this way of life. What? The surrender way of life. Relying on our higher power. Relying on Jesus. We vigorously commence this way of life. As we cleaned up the past, we have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. Just like I said, it's not an overnight matter. You gotta put it in the oven, set a timer. It has to bake. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance is our code. Love and tolerance is our code. Roger, band guys, want to come on back up? I'm getting close to wrapping this thing up. But there's another gift I want to tell you about. And for us, it's the most important gift ever. It's the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. Ephesians 2:8. I mean that you have been saved by grace. We already talked about grace. We're getting something that we don't deserve. It's free. That you have been saved by grace through believing. Let me ask you this. Are you going to surrender to something you don't believe in? Probably not. Probably not. I mean that you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Except for surrender. But it was already there, this gift. It was a gift from God. Salvation is a gift, and it's already there. All you have to do is receive it. It's already there. This gift of salvation, it wasn't free. I mean, it's free to you, but it wasn't free. A price had to be paid for that gift. And it's a gift given to you that someone else paid for. A gift given to you that you do not deserve. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. It was your debt that was paid. And it was paid for you as a gift. As I said, this message kept bringing me back to my early recovery. And again, I know exactly how long I had in recovery because I have a mugshot at 2 years. And I had not taken care of some of the wreckage of the past. I'd served the jail time, but I hadn't
made my financial amends. Did I mention that we didn't have much? And I think I owed, I'm pretty sure, around $3,000, something like that. And it's right before Serenity Church started, the week before. And I'm coming into town for a band rehearsal. And the car that we were driving that I had that we drove didn't have an inspection. Couldn't get it done. We didn't have the money for it. The light was on. How do you fix that? You know? Well, police officer saw the tag and pulled me over, and I get a trip downtown, of course, and I knew it was going to happen. I knew I owed a lot. I knew that I owed $3,000, and they impounded the only vehicle we had. I called Trina, and she was at the house. She didn't know anything like that had happened. And she said, "What are we going to do?" I said, I don't know. I'm in jail. I mean, maybe they'll let me set it out. I don't know if it's one of those things that you got to come up with the money. I don't know what to do." And I sat in a holding cell for a few days, and then they finally put me back. Ooh, those Denton County holding cells, horrible. Bad. And I was so happy to be put back in population, and I got back there in population, and I finally got relaxed. There was actually something to lay on besides the floor and a roll of toilet paper and with 40 other men in there, and I finally got back there, and there was TV on and everything. I'm like, I'm just going to make the best of it. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Then they called my name. "Hightower, get your stuff." "Why?" "Your debt's been paid." "What?" I know my wife didn't have it. My parents love me, but they've paid a time or two before, and I didn't figure they'd go pay. Who paid? How am I getting out of here?" The church that started Serenity Church, they heard that I got arrested, and they found out how much it was going to take to get me out, and they pulled together and got it and went and paid it. My debt. I came to church. Well, there's even more. Trina picks me up in our car. How'd you get our car out of the impound? Somebody paid for it. It's paid. I didn't deserve it. They paid. We pulled up to our house, and in my mind, and we're talking, and like, you know, because Trina did drain what tiny bit we had in our checking account to put in to get the car out and everything. We had nothing. We had nothing. And how are we going to feed these kids? How are we going to... We pulled up to our house, that little single-wide trailer with no gas. We pulled up there, and on our front porch was so many groceries that it ran down the stairs. We couldn't get to the door to open it. We had to go to the neighbor, and they came, and we pulled, and we got in, and we filled every piece of our cabinets and refrigerators and everything. There were so many groceries that our neighbors had to go to their house, and we filled up their stuff too. Those kids, my family,
life. That was my debt that I needed to pay, and somebody paid it. I went to the church and I started asking, who did this? Who helped my family like this? And every single person said, Jesus. 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 Oh, come on, tell me, who did this? Jesus did it. I want to be able to pay you back. No, that was a free gift. Oh, no, you didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it at all. You did the crimes. You didn't do all the time. And you had some fines, and you didn't deserve us to do that. But we gave you this free gift. Jesus did. You gave me a free gift. They didn't say all that to me. That's what they were saying in my head. They gave me a free gift. This is what God did with His Son. This is what God did with His Son. He literally paid our debt with His Son's life. I've said this over and over in here. I love you, but you ain't getting one of my kids. I love them more. But the love God has for each individual in this room, He gave His Son. That was the price. And get this, Jesus went willingly. He said, all right. Y'all have heard the song, He could have called 10,000 angels. At any moment when He was standing, when He was hanging on the cross, He could have said, nah, I'm done, dude. I'm done with this. Come on. He didn't. He hung there until it was done. And that's what He said, it's finished. The debt has been paid. So that all you can live debt-free. You're debt-free. If you've surrendered, you've turned your will and your life over to the care of God, Jesus is the one you follow. You're not going to get it right all the time. Thank God for grace and mercy. But you're debt-free. My debt's been paid, bro. We're debt-free. So, if you haven't done that surrender thing, if you haven't done a step three, you know, I hear, I watch these preachers and stuff, and bow your head and close your eyes, and when I ask you this question, raise your hand, and it's not awesome. Come up forward, come up front, and somebody will meet you here, and then we'll take your confession. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's between you and Him. It's just between you and Him. Now, if you do decide to turn your life over to the care of Jesus, please come tell me. I need to know. Makes my day. If something I said up here made you make that decision, please tell me. It's awesome. We also like to get you baptized. And all that is a public confession to everybody. Like you can turn your life over to Jesus just sitting in your chair, just chilling, having a conversation with Him and saying, God, Jesus, just take it. I'm done. I want to follow you. I want to be yours. I need this gift of salvation. I surrender. I want some of that grace. I want some of that mercy. I want some of that joy. I want some of that peace. I want all that. God, I understand that it all just don't happen at once and it takes time, but God, I want it. That's all you got to say and mean it. Mean it from your heart. The gift is already there. You just have to go get it. You have to show up. Pick up your gift. It's waiting on you. So, I'm going to go ahead and say a little prayer. Say this prayer in your head. Be out loud. Lord in heaven, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need your grace and mercy. I need salvation. I want joy, peace, grace and mercy. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and you paid my debt. Lord, I want to be debt free. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. Thank you, Jesus, for Serenity Church. Thank you for all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen.